Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I bring you greetings from the other seminary in St. Louis, President Meyer, my fellow faculty and students. It's a privilege for me to be here to spend 2 weeks with you and to get to know you and this campus. I praise God for that. The text that is given for us is the text that was read for us this morning. This text is not as much about getting married or not as much as it is about Christian living, married or single, a life lived under the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. A life lived under the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, married or single. To be sure, the text speaks about unmarried man, unmarried woman, married man, fiancé, and the wife. There are family values to be derived from this text. How to lead holy and chaste lives, how to please your husband or wife, how to behave properly toward a fiancé, all of which Paul encourages us to do in the Lord, practicing self-control. Paul goes on to say that, nevertheless, it is better that a person remains unmarried, as he himself was, although not like Peter, who actually had a wife, and the other disciples, and even brothers of our Lord, who married and, we believe, led family lives. But Paul remains single. Paul does not in any way belittle family life or married life. He only encourages that. But he makes sure that we value its sanctity, its divine institution, its place in the community, all in the name of the Lord. Then he goes on to say, married life would bring distress. Distress, a strong word. And he reminds us, are you bound to your wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. If you do marry, however, you have not sinned. That's comforting for all of us who are married. Do this in the name of the Lord, he says. He says again, however, marriage does bring anxiety. I looked and looked. ESV has anxiety, NIV has concern, RSV, I believe, has anxiety. A tough word to translate. Anxiety means a medical condition marked by intense apprehension or real or imagined danger, a concern that causes worry. But five times in the text in ESV, we have anxiety included. And the text actually began saying, a man who is, committed to the Lord is anxious about the things of the word, of the Lord. I know several languages in India. Anxiety cannot be translated in a positive sense in any of them. So is the word concern. I'm concerned about my wife. I'm away from her for the last 10 days. That's the meaning you get. I'm concerned about the sickness of my child. I don't know if he's going to make it or not. That's what concern brings, and so does anxiety. And now, a man who is about the business of the Lord is anxious about the Lord, Paul says. I looked again. Anxiety means nervousness, worry, concern, fear, unease, apprehension, angst, disquiet, and fretfulness. Which of these words will match our service to the Lord or our life in Him? Put it all together, perhaps the Lord, I know, is concerned about us than we are of Him. The Lord is anxious about us than we are of Him and His business. It is a joy. It is an honor. It is divine grace that God has chosen us to be anxious about His business, married or single. anxiety in the biblical sense does have a positive sin to it. In as much as our lives, anxious as they are anchored in the life of our Lord. And Paul goes on to say, the unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord. The married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. The married man's and all our lives are struggled and troubled with our interests divided. But the Lord requires undivided devotion to him. The Lord encourages and empowers us to be undividedly devoted to him. As much as we live our lives, single or married, in the name of the Lord and in his presence, that is a life yet worthy to be lived. I looked further. There is another phrase that Paul uses. That is, in the place of anxiety and concern, setting your hearts in the Lord. You know, anxiety takes place from within the heart. Worries, struggles of the world come to us and really prick our conscience and definitely occupy our hearts. Paul wrote to the Colossians, you have been raised with Jesus Christ, therefore set your hearts not on things below, but on things above, where Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Put your priorities first. Put your priorities straight. Give the place that actually belongs to God. Because again, in this text, Paul says, the present form of this life is fading away, passing away. For even if you're anxious about your family, your wife, your children, your life here, my life here, it is not going to take us anywhere. The life of this world is passing away. Therefore, set your hearts from above, on the things above. The Lord requires our undivided attention. Where our heart is, there our desires shall also be. Let not my wife, your husband, our children, and your fiancé take that place where the Lord belongs and fill our hearts with anxiety. After all, we are his children. It was God's desire that we should all be saved and come to the knowledge of the Lord. Our salvation is the desire of God's heart. As he has called us to be his children, and as he has also called us to be sent forth as his children, his servants, God grant us the strength that our hearts are set on things above. And he said, where our heart is, there our desires also shall be. Anxiety. Are we, by being anxious, able to add a second to our lives? Are we, by being worried, do anything that we are unable to do except by the help of the Lord? Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Set your hearts on Jesus Christ. Tomorrow has its own anxiety. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. May God be present in our heart and lead us so that we may follow in his steps. In the name of Jesus. Amen.